You should be in the book of Joshua, chapter 2. And I want to speak with you a short message that the Lord placed upon my heart that is very important, I believe, for every one of us, especially for every one of us that has loved ones that we desire to see saved and in church. Joshua, chapter 2, and I want us to begin reading in chapter 2, verse 12. And we're going to read through verse 21. Chapter 2, verse 12 through 21, I am reading from the Modern English Version, and it says this: "So now, since I have acted faithfully toward you, please swear to me by the Lord that you will also act faithfully toward my father's house. Please give me a firm pledge that you will spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all whom they own, and that you will deliver our lives from death." This is Rahab speaking. During that time, she was a prostitute. Verse 14, "The men said to her, 'Our lives for yours. If you do not report us, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will act faithfully and kindly with you.' Then Rahab lowered them by a rope through the window, for her home was set into the wall where she lived. She said to them, 'Go to the hill country so that the pursuers do not find you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers return. After that, you can go on your way.' The men said to her, 'We will be free from this oath that you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you tie this red cord to the window through which you let us down. You must bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all who belong to your father's household into your home. Anyone who comes out of the doors of your house into the street is responsible for his own blood, for we will be innocent. Yet for anyone who stays with you inside the house, we are responsible for his blood if someone should lay a hand on him. But if you tell about this business of ours, then we will be released from the oath that you have made us swear.' And she said, 'Let it be so according to your words.' Then she sent them off, and they departed, and she tied the red cord in the window." And I want to speak with you today about the scarlet thread, the scarlet thread. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you would help me to relay your heart to your people, that, Lord, you would speak from your word into our lives and our hearts, and that, Lord, through it, you would encourage us and you would give us the faith to believe, Lord God, for your moving and operation within our homes. And so we thank you for all that you're going to do. Bless the preaching of your word, we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Joshua chapter 2, to be honest with you, is an interesting story. There's no doubt about it. Moses, in the not too recent past, has just died. He died on Mount Nebo. He was not allowed to enter into the promised land. He had done amiss, he had made a mistake, and ultimately, as we look at Moses being a type of the law, see, the law was given through Moses. The law was not able to bring the children of Israel into the promised land. Moses wasn't able to get them into the promised land. And so God allowed Moses to view the promised land, all of it, before he would pass. And then after Moses would pass away, Joshua would come into the leadership of the children of Israel. And Joshua and the children of Israel are now on the east side of the Jordan River. They're ready to cross the Jordan River to enter into the promised land. But right before that, or right after crossing the Jordan River, is a big town called Jericho. Jericho, at this time in history, was a very prosperous city. They say that there were palm trees. It was very lush. When you look at Jericho today, if you take the time to search it on the internet and look at modern Jericho, it's nowhere near as beautiful as it was back in this day. The town of Jericho was one of the towns that God would allow the Israelites to conquer in their progression into the promised land. But before all of that would take place, Joshua would send a few spies into the promised land to view the city, to begin to spy out the land to see, in essence, what was there. And so in chapter 2, we find the story of Rahab and the spies. As the spies are going and searching out the city, they end up entering into the house of a prostitute named Rahab. And Rahab, you can only imagine how people talked about her. She was not known to be morally upright. She wasn't pure in how she dressed. I'm sure, as a prostitute would be, was out trying to allure men into her house. But in the course of their searching out the city, they end up in her house. And they end up in her house during a time when the city itself hears that there are spies there in Jericho. And so these spies end up in her house. And in the course of time, Rahab begins to speak to these spies about how they expect God to deliver the town into their hands. It's an amazing thing. Let's just read it if you don't mind. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "Then Joshua the son of Nun sent two men out from Shittim to spy, saying, 'Go see the land, especially Jericho.' So they went, and they came to the house of a prostitute named Rahab, and they spent the night there. The king of Jericho was told, 'Israelite men came here tonight to spy out the land.' So the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, 'Bring out the men who came to you, who have entered your house, for they came to spy out the whole land.' Now the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said yes to these ones that inquired. 'Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from.' The men went out when it was time to shut the gate at dark. 'I do not know where they went. Chase after them quickly, for you can overtake them.' Yet she had brought them up to the roof and hid them in the stalks of the flax that she had spread out on the roof. So the men chased after them on the road to the Jordan as far as the fords. They shut the gate, and as soon as the pursuers went out after them, before the spies went to sleep, Rahab went to them on the roof." Now picture this in your mind. They end up in the house. They're trying to find them. She hides them and says, "They're not here. They left. Go ahead and chase after them. Maybe you'll catch them before they're gone." And so they leave to go and catch them. And so now she goes up to the roof to where they are. And what's amazing is that she goes up there, and there, these pursuers are gone. She goes to them on the roof. Look at verse 9. She says this, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, for dread from you has fallen on us, and all the inhabitants of the land melt in terror before you. For we heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea before when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og." These were kings of the Amorites who were of the other side of Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. "Our hearts melted when we heard these things, and no man had any breath in him because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below." What an amazing thing. This is a woman who, for all that we know, could care less about spiritual things, especially considering her lifestyle. But prior to the entering in of the spies, there had already been talk about the Israelites, hadn't there? They had heard of how God was with the Israelites and how God opened the Red Sea. They heard throughout that land how that they walked through on dry ground. They heard that they were being fed angels' food, manna from heaven. I'm sure they heard stories of how these kings were defeated by Israel. You know that King Og, the OG king that was just mentioned there? His bed was 14 feet long and 6 feet wide. He was a giant. And yet, when you think of these giants, when they try to stand before men and women of God, they were destroyed because God was with them. If when God is with you, you don't need to be afraid of, I don't care how big the giant is in front of you, God will destroy that giant. Amen. And it's amazing that the people there in Jericho knew that God was with Israel. The Bible says that the people, it wasn't her necessarily, but the people were shaking in their boots, weren't they? The Bible even says that there was no breath left in them for fear of you, because we knew that God is with you. And Rahab, in the midst of all of these occurrences, and despite the fact that she was a prostitute, became a believer. She says, I know that your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. It's amazing that Rahab would be even mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 in the chapter of the heroes of faith. But this woman believed that God was with Israel, and because God was with Israel and she knew God would allow them to capture the city that she dwelt in, she begins to talk to these spies and asks a favor of them because she had just did them a favor. She begins to tell these men, can you spare not only my life when you do come to destroy this city, but can you spare my father and my mother and my brothers, my sisters, and that all of my father's household and what they own will be spared? Can you do that? Can you move in such a way so as to spare all of mine, all of my loved ones? And the scripture says, when Paul was there with the Philippian jailer, he says, if you be saved, you will be saved and your entire house. And I'm here to tell you that in the same way that Rahab, knowing that the dwelling, the home that she was then living in would be destroyed, she had such a burden in her heart for her own family that she began to intercede on their behalf, didn't she? She began to say to these spies, when you come, can you spare not only my life, but theirs as well? I've done you a big favor here. And so the spies begin to tell her, and she says, promise this, make a covenant, make sure of this promise. And they say, sure, we'll do it with these terms, didn't they say? If we come, and when this place is destroyed, the only ones that will be spared are those inside your house. If there is anyone outside of your house, their blood is on their own head. We're not responsible for them. But everyone that you have in your house will be spared. It's amazing. And I'm here to tell you that we need to have a renewed burden for our loved ones. Amen. We need to have a burden just like Rahab did for her parents, her brothers and sisters, her nieces and nephews, and anybody else that could fit within. She knew that this town was going to be destroyed, and now she knows who is going to be spared. Only those that are inside the house. What would you have done if you were Rahab? You would have said, Mom, Dad, get over here and get in this house now. Brother, sister, brothers, sisters. I don't know how big her family was. It doesn't really say. Their brothers and sisters, the sisters' servants, their maid servants, their men servants. And you know what? The only ones that are going to be spared are inside that house. So you're going to get as many people to fit inside that house as you possibly can. Because you know the only ones that are going to survive are the ones that walk out of that door when all is said and done. Everybody else on the outside, they would destroy literally. And so what's interesting about it is that Rahab wasn't only thinking about herself, but she was very concerned about her loved ones. And because she was concerned, she interceded and she began to say, can you spare my loved ones? Amen? And we need to be that way as well in our prayer closets. Lord, spare my loved ones, my family, my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, my brothers, my sisters, my children. Amen? My parents and so on and so forth. But there was a burden in her heart. And so she let it be known. And they gave a promise that this would happen. But they also said there was another condition. The thing that needs to happen is you need to put a red cord in the window. Amen? a scarlet thread, a red thread. Many versions will say a cord, a thread, a rope. But whatever it was, she immediately got that red thing and she tied it around the window and she made sure that it was secure. And there it was hanging. I'm sure the wind was blowing it, because the way that those walls were built, those walls around Jericho were very wide. Chariot horses could ride on top of those walls. They were thick. They were strong, impenetrable. There was no way an enemy could get in. But they were all. It was also so big that there were also kind of like apartments, if you will, houses inside the wall. And so on the flat side of the wall, there was now a scarlet rope, a red piece of cloth, a thick thing that the eye could see attached to that window. Amen? And so what's beautiful is that she obeyed those men. She put that scarlet thread around that window. And then I want you to turn to chapter 6 real fast. Chapter 6 is where we read about the fall of Jericho. And of course, we remember the story. I'm not going to go into it all the way. But look at verses 22 through 25. It says this. Joshua 6, 22 through 25. It says, "Yet to the two men who had spied out the land, Joshua said, 'Enter the prostitute's house and bring out the woman and everyone who belongs to her as you swore to her.' So the young men who had been spies entered and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, everyone who belonged to her, and her whole extended family." She got busy. She said, "I'm not content with just my little my parents and my brothers and sisters or my nieces and nephews, even distant relatives." Don't you like that? All of them. They brought them all out. And then it says, her brother, the extended family, they brought them out and placed them outside of the camp of Israel. And they burned out the city and everything in it with fire. Only the silver, the gold, the bronze, and iron articles they gave up to the treasury of the house of the Lord. Yet Rahab, the prostitute, her father's family, and everyone who belonged to her, Joshua let live. And they live among Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers Joshua sent to spy on Jericho." Let me now bring it to something we'll understand. Joshua is a type of Christ. Joshua is letting her live. Isn't that amazing? Think about it. Moses, the type of the law, couldn't get the children of Israel into the promised land. Joshua now is bringing them into the promised land, into the land of rest. Amen. The land of promise. Joshua is a type of Christ. There is no way to get into heaven but through Christ. Amen. And in the same way, the only way we're going to have life is through Christ himself. If you will, through Joshua for Rahab, or through Jesus for you and me and your house. And what's beautiful is that they remembered this covenant. They pull her out, and I love how she didn't just bring out her close family, but even the extended family. So she stuck them in there like sardines, amen? I'm sure when they saw them marching around the first day all quietly, she probably said, "Oh, something's about to happen. Come on, get in, right? The second day they're walking around, these Israelites, I'm sure they're watching from the walls and wondering, what are these weirdos doing? That's how the world sees you. You know that when you come to church on Sundays? Third day, they're walking around silently. Fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, right? Then the seventh day, they walk around twice. And then all of a sudden they're shouting and everything's all loud. Can you imagine? And all of a sudden everything begins to shake. And the scripture says those walls fell down flat. Amen? You know, archaeological history shows the walls are fallen flat there in Jericho. It's amazing how it proves the Bible to be true. All of that to say this. Rahab had become a believer. And Rahab put that scarlet thread, that red rope around her window to show as a sign that I am a believer. Amen. And in many ways, the redness of that cord is symbolic of your salvation in Christ. There is no way to be saved but by the blood of Jesus. And she had become a believer, and now this red thing is floating outside the window of her house, and she's bringing into that house as many as possible. And what I love about it is that every one of those that were in that house with her when all of this happened came out and lived and were still alive presently at the writing of the book of Joshua. You see, God wants to give life. God wants to give the promise of hope for the future. God loves you, but He loves your family. He loves your brothers, your sisters, your parents, your aunts, your uncles, your cousins. He died to save them too. But it's up to you and me that, like Rahab, we begin to intercede and begin to claim the blood of Jesus for our family. Amen. Lord, save my family. Deliver them from drugs and alcohol. Deliver them from the humanistic road that they're on. Success, wealth. Sometimes these things are distractions from the eternal things in heaven. But we need to pray God intervene. And we must be believing God to fill our house. Amen. Amen. Fill it to capacity, man. There's a lot of family members that we all have that we should be praying for. And you know what? If we, like Rahab, will begin to intercede and we'll begin to pray and begin to say, God, save their souls by the blood of Jesus. Do whatever you have to do. God will begin to do something that only He could do. Amen. God wants to do it in our lives and in our families' lives because, like I said, He loves you and He loves them. And He's given that promise. If you will be saved, it will be you and your house, but we must do our part. Amen? Don't hesitate to share the gospel with your family. You don't have to try to force it down their throats. You know, when a person is force-fed, it's never enjoyable. Amen? But share the gospel. Pray for them. Encourage them. Talk to them about Jesus when you can. Amen? Invite them to church, even though they always say no. Amen? One of these days, they might say yes. Amen? One of these days, they may just sense the moving of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, and they'll just get up and go. Amen? Because God is working. But as you are praying for your family, we will begin to, in a sense, put out that scarlet thread, saying, there's my family. Amen? And I plead the blood of Jesus over my home, and Jesus will give them life too. Amen? Let's stand.